We are in Romans chapter 8 between the passage that we had last week and between that and the golden chain of redemption. Lord willing, next week we'll look at the golden chain of redemption between verses 28 and 31 or something like that. Today there's a portion in between from verses Romans 8 verse 24 that I saw here a theme of the hope of the Christian. And that's what I want to look at today, the hope of the Christian. Let's read again some verses here, and to better get the context, I sometimes like to read some more verses than just those few that I mainly look at. But let's read from verse 16, Romans 8, verse 16. It says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Verse 24. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's pray again before we go on. Lord, I just pray that You will open our eyes today to see wonderful truths from Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would give me wisdom and unction. And Lord, that You would just speak to our hearts by Your grace, by Your goodness. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen. So my main verse where I want to start at is verse 24, where it says, "For we are saved by hope." Some other translations speak about in hope. Here it says by hope, but I think the idea we are saved by hope, obviously we know that a Christian is not saved out of his heathen life just by hope, or what I mean is just someone comes and says, "Oh, don't you hope that there is a better life after this," right? And then, "Oh yeah, I hope so too," and then I'm now saved. That's not what it's talking about. Then it would be contradicting other scriptures. We're saved by grace through faith, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. So it's not talking about the means by which we are saved, but it is talking about a condition in which we are saved, a condition of hope. We are saved by hope, which is, I think, also rightly translated, which is in hope. This is past tense here, where it says we are saved. It is talking about something that has happened in the past, because he is speaking to believers who have already been saved. That is his main audience whom he is talking to here when he says, for we are saved by hope. And then he says, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? So the word hope, we need to understand what it means here in this context. We say sometimes that, well, I hope that I can go to the city this week. Or I hope that my mother will come and visit me this week. That is something that it's like a wish. That is my wish, or that is my desire. I wish it would work out, right? Hope in this context, because the Bible does use hope in different ways, but hope in this context is very similar to faith. It is not the same. And I'm going to show you why it is not the same, but it is a similar meaning to faith. The definition, according to Webster 1828 Dictionary, and there's also a few different definitions, but the definition that matches with this verse says that it is a confidence in a future event. The definition of hope. It is a confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. And then it says, as a hope founded on God's gracious promises, a scriptural sense. See, that is the definition of this word hope, is a well-founded expectation. See, we know, because God has given us faith to believe, we know that when we have truths in Scripture, that these are true, and that promises that God has made will happen because of the faith that God has given us. But the way we feel sometimes, it is a hope. It is a certain expectation that these things will come to pass. That has more to do with how we feel about it. See, the faith part is we know, but the hope part is, yes, I have this certain expectation that I will go from this world to be with Jesus. The hope is that encourages me is that there will be a day where there will be no more suffering and no more pain, where God Himself will wipe away every tear from my eye and every believer. That is a hope that I have and a hope that with which I live. Not something that I think could not come to pass. No, I know it will come to pass, but because I'm a human being, my body sometimes can't feel that I know it, even though, yes, I have the confidence. And yes, I know it because I have faith in God, but I think this is where there is a little difference between faith and hope. When we read the Scriptures and God shows us the truth of what the Scripture means, we have the faith and we know this is going to happen. But in reality, in how we live sometimes, yes, we have this hope, but sometimes we can't feel it so real. And I think that is a little bit of the difference. So it is a confidence in a future event. The way we live also, the way we live, it is seen that we have a confidence in what is to come. See, all these things work together. If we are a believer, we are a new creature in Christ. We have been born again. Our mind has been changed and made new. And our mind is being renewed as we read the Scriptures to become more like Christ and to think more and more in a way that is pleasing to God. So, yes, we have been changed. And we have a confidence of a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. Now, I don't like the term conspiracy theories that much because it is used so much in the world today. Oh, you believe that things that are going on in the world is because of some worldly powers that like power and that want to make us do things because they want to control us, well, then you're a conspiracy theorist. I don't like that in that sense, because it is not a conspiracy theory to believe that there are higher powers in this world who want to control us. That is natural human way of living without God. If you don't have God, you don't believe in God, you think we came from apes and that this world is billions of years old and everything happens by chance, well, then you would like to control the world so that things would become in some way that would benefit you. Because who cares about everything else? Who cares about God? Who cares about life? I just want everything to turn in such a way that I'll benefit it at the end of it. That is what is happening in this world. So that is not a conspiracy theory. But then there are people who make up a lot of stories about things that are going on because of some foreign world person who came to this world and did stuff, and you know, stories that just go on and on and on that are just foolish. So that is not well-founded expectation of something that is going to happen. You can read the Book of Muhammad or the Book of Mormon and find things in there, but we cannot call that well-founded expectation. Now, I'm going a little bit beside our text just now, but to try to explain to you what hope means in this context. This hope here has to do with a well-founded knowledge and expectation of what is to come. See, if you read the Book of Mormon, for example, and it tells you things, but then there are things that are not matching. If you read the Bible, everything matches in the Bible. Everything goes together. It does not contradict anywhere in the Scriptures. The whole Bible is the Word of God. God is not contradictory. So when we believe the Bible, for that reason alone, that everything is not contradictory, we already have a well-founded expectation when we read things and we say, yes, this is the truth. But when we go to other sources and people who have imaginations and dreams, then we go away from a well-founded source of truth. The Bible is the source of truth. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. And this is where faith and hope are used in the same sentence. And they are distinguished as separate. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is describing for us here what faith is, but it is using the word hope to explain to us what faith is. So let me try to break it down for you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, a substance means what something actually consists of. You can tell me that you have a cake. Well, okay, that's fine, but what kind of cake? What is it made of? Does it have wheat flour, or does it have some other type of flour? Does it have chocolate, or does it not have chocolate? That is the substance of what the cake is about. You can just tell me you have a cake, okay, fine. But the substance is the materials, what it is made of. Well, the same way, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the actuality of the things that we're hoping for. And the Bible says we must have faith in Christ in order to be saved, in order to be righteous before God. So how can we have an actuality of a hope? See, that is the thing that I'm trying to distinguish. Hope is something that we can feel because, yes, We have a well-founded expectation. This is going to happen. Faith, on the other hand, is extraordinary miracle from God to give us faith to not only have this certain expectation this is going to happen, but it is the actual substance of it in our heart. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is not just the thing that you hope for, but is the having the actuality in your heart. That is what faith is. So to believe on Jesus is that you actually have Jesus. That is why Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the world, to the end of ages. He will always be with us. Us believing in Him is that we have faith and we have the actuality. The question is, where does it start? We're not here really to dig into that today, though we do sometimes. It is not that, oh yeah, I found some faith and I'm going to believe in God and then He's going to come and be with me. No. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is not something that we have in ourselves. Some people will go to Romans, I think it's 11, where it says that everyone has a portion of faith. But that is talking in the context of believers. It is not talking about unbelievers. The Bible says, not everyone has faith. So when it says in Romans 11, and I didn't recheck the scripture, I think it's Romans 11, that we all have a portion of faith, it is talking about believers and how we live our life and how some believers have a different work from other believers because we have different portions of faith. So, not everyone has faith, and those who do have faith, who are believers, they have different portions of faith depending on how God has given it to us and how He wants to use us. But faith is having in our heart the actuality and the reality of things that we hope for. Some of this might sound a little contradicting, but it is only contradicting in as far as if I have an error in how I understand this. There's not a contradiction with God, but if there is some error with how I understand this, then that would be the contradiction, not with God. But I believe this is the difference between faith and hope. So the reason I'm going here is because faith, it says, is the substance of things hoped for. So yes, it is good to hope for good things. And if you're a believer, you also have the faith in your heart to know that, yes, this is what is the truth, and this is what will happen. And if we look, turn back to Romans 8, it says, verse 24, "For we are saved by hope." We are saved, that is past tense, by hope or in hope. And why is it talking about hope here in this passage? If we look in the previous verses, especially what we looked at last week, about the groaning that believers have, knowing that we're in this sin-cursed world, we have bodies that are decaying, we have everything in nature that has issues, we are groaning. The believers are groaning for something that is to come. But now he says we are saved by hope. We are saved in hope. In the middle of our groaning, we're waiting for something that is to come. We have hope. Now it says, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And the word see that is being used here, hope that is seen is not hope. This same word is also translated as experience or knowing or things that we, experience. Things that we see and experience. So, hope that is seen is not hope. So here's the thing. Some people want to say that, yes, Christ died to redeem us from the curse of sin, which we looked at last week, to redeem us from every curse of sin. First from everlasting destruction, and then also from the sickness of our bodies and the sin in this world. However, some of that we wait for in hope. That is what it is saying here. Things that we can see and we have experienced, we no longer hope for those. We already have them. See, that is a definition of hope, a confidence in a future event, not something that is now. We don't have a hope about something that we are living a life free of sickness and free of sin right now. No, then we wouldn't need no hope. We won't need hope in heaven, hope about one day becoming like Christ. Because when we are there, we will be like Him, because we will see Him face to face as He is. So hope is a confidence about something that is to come in the future. And if you can see it and you can experience it, then it is not hope. And you don't need faith. See, this is why hope and faith go together. You have a hope about things that will come, and faith is the actuality of that in your heart, knowing that this is the truth. So, we're saved by hope. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look for a future, and the Bible says we look for a building whose founder is God. We have a hope and we have faith in something that is to come. So, if we only look at the things that are seen and are temporal, because temporal means temporary. Everything that is in this world right now is temporary, except the souls of men. The souls of men are eternal. But everything that is on this earth is temporary. That's why God says He will destroy this earth with fire, and He will make a new heaven and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. That's not where we are right now. Right now, we are in a world that is filled with sin. So if we only look at the worldly things and the things that are in this world, and we look at people to save us, or we look at people to bring us freedom. Now, yes, there are things where we want to bring glory to God by the things, how things are happening in this world, yes. But if our mind and our focus is only on things in this earth, we're looking at temporal things. And we don't need hope for things that we see. Hope is for something that we don't see, but we have a certain confidence and a well-grounded expectation, a well-grounded foundation of something that we expect to come. That is what hope is. What a man sees, why does he yet hope for? Why do you hope for something that you're already experiencing? That's not what hope is. And then verse 25, but if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, here's the thing. If we hope for something that we don't see, we wait for it patiently. It's not saying that since we can't see it, and since we're only hoping for it, the half of us will give up. It's not what it is saying. It is not saying, because you can't see it, well, you might as well just throw it away. No, it says that if we hope for that we see not, we do with patience wait for it. See, patience is not easy. Patience means that even when you want to throw everything away, you still keep going. Even when everything hurts, you still keep going because you're expecting something else to come. You're expecting there will be something where you can get through this place where you're right now. That is patience. So it says that if we hope for that, we wait patiently for it. That hope is also, I believe, by the mercy of God, that we can hope in the things that will come. The faith, yes, we have faith in Christ. We have faith in His Word. The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. Faith is usually, or maybe I should say always, coupled with action. Now, action in different ways, but if you look at Hebrews 11, and I only want to look at a few examples there, hope, again, hope is something that we have a certain expectation because we have a well-grounded foundation for our expectation. And then faith is something we know in our heart. So, I want to look at Noah and Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Righteousness is by faith. God imputes righteousness to us by faith. When we believe on the Lord, He imputes His righteousness to us. So, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, what did he do? He moved with fear. He didn't just stay sitting and say, "Yeah, I hope for that day when I will be saved out of this flood." No, he moved. And then it says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It is all throughout this chapter, Hebrews 11, it is speaking of many who did something because of their faith. Because they had faith, they did something. It showed that they actually did have faith. Abraham, in verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting or believing that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham believed God that even though Isaac was to be the one through whom his seed should come, and God had promised that he would have seed exceedingly many, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand on the seashore, that's how his offspring would be. And yet he was willing to sacrifice his own son, believing that God could raise him from the dead. See, how much would that hurt us? Yes, our hope is in what God says, but our faith says, okay, if God tells me to do it, I see no way that God could still do it, but I believe He can. And then we go ahead and do what God asks us to do in faith. In faith, believing and going and doing what God wants us to do. If we had hope without faith, we would never get anything done. We would wish more than wish for things. We'd have a foundation, but our faith is what says, "Yes, Lord, we will do." We surrender to Christ in faith. When I was an unbeliever, I didn't care about a lot of my sins. And when God convicted me of my sin and He brought me to that place of surrender, I said, "Lord, yes, Lord, I will go and do what You want me to do." And I began to live for Him, starting with minute, by hour, by hour, because I couldn't see how I could get out of my sin. I was now troubled about my sin, that I wanted to quit, but I didn't know how. And I had to start living in faith and doing things in faith. But my point here today is the Christian has hope in his salvation, in their salvation, in his or her salvation. We're saved by hope. And then Paul makes it clear that this is not something that we have seen or experienced, but this is bigger. This is something that we have a foundation for that is going to come. And then verse 26, Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now this second part from verse 26 to 28 is in the same context about hope, but this is talking about while we wait in hope, which it says we do, we wait in hope, because we have hope, we wait patiently. The Spirit helps in our infirmities. See, by faith, it says in Hebrews 11, kingdoms were conquered. There's a list of things that were done by the believers in faith, but in hope we wait patiently. So while we wait, we also work in faith, we also do something in faith, but while we wait in hope, it is the Spirit that is interceding for us. For things that we cannot see and for things that we cannot even imagine. And I'm not talking about a big mansion here. I'm talking about spiritual warfare that is the life of the believer. We're not fighting against principalities and powers spiritually. We're not advancing God's kingdom by going and fighting the people of this earth, the sinners of this earth. We're not advancing God's kingdom like that. We're fighting against principalities and powers that are from above, that are, I'm saying not with people, but with spirits, with Satan and with his demons, with his ideas. That is what we're fighting against, not the people of this world. So likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We have a hope, but we don't have all knowledge, and we don't have all wisdom, and there's many times we don't even know what to pray. We know that something is wrong. We know that this country is going wrong in some ways, but we don't know what is the solution. And we beg God, and we pray, and we ask, and the Spirit helps us in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, and in our inabilities, and in our places of where we don't know what's going on. He helps us not only to move God, we don't move God, but He helps us to understand. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit makes intercession for us, and Jesus makes intercession for us. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, Hebrews 7, verse 25. It is talking about Jesus. Let's read from 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. The old priest in the Old Testament died. Jesus, 24, but this man, because he continues forever, he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament, they had a high priest. He was able to, because God had ordained it in such a way, the high priest was able to intercede for the people, but only till he died. Jesus came as an intercessor, as the high priest. His body died, but he was raised a new body 3 days later, and he lives forever to make intercession for us. So what I'm just wanted to show with this is that the Spirit makes intercession for us, but it is Christ Himself that makes intercession for us. And the reason why it is the Spirit and it is Jesus Christ, because they are one. They're not the same, but they are one. They are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us because we don't know how to ask God, and Jesus intercedes on our behalf. He intercedes for us. One more passage I want to look at, John chapter 14. John 14. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So Jesus says, I will send the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but you will receive him. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's what Jesus says. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit. And then a verse later, he says, I will come to you. Jesus himself indwells the believers. It is the Holy Spirit that indwells us, but it is also Jesus that indwells us. If you want to start putting cookies on the floor and trying to explain where is God and where is Jesus and where is the Holy Spirit and how they cannot, the Spirit and Jesus both be in us, or how they cannot be one, well, you've already lost it. You cannot explain Jesus with some cookies. The reason why I'm saying this is because some people actually do this. Maybe not with cookies, but they do it with objects. They come and they say, see how I'm the Father and I have a son. Your son is not you, right? Correct. And you are not your son, right? Correct. Well, then God and Jesus cannot be one. Jesus is not God. Well, you cannot do that because God is not made in our image. We are made in His image. That means we have some of the attributes that God has, like a conscience, knowing right from wrong, and how we have the ability to think and to know things. It is because we are made in His image. It doesn't mean that He is like us. The Bible says God is not like us. We have been made in His image, so we have some things that have been copied down from Him, we could say, if we want to use that term. But we cannot reverse that and say, okay, that means God must be like us. Because He is not. He is not like us. He is not a man that He should lie. The Bible says, God is not a man. So we cannot take human objects and say, okay, that's how God must be. So the Bible is wrong. No, then you're throwing away the authority of the Scriptures and you're coming up with a spineless authority that has nothing, has no truth and no basis in reality. The only basis in reality that we can have is from the Scriptures. So Jesus said, I will send the Spirit to you, and then He says, I will come to you. So Jesus is with us, the believers. And He makes intercession for us. Back in Romans, one more thing that it was I didn't mention, verse 27. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes, again, He makes intercession for the saints. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So again, this is talking about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it is almost using them interchangeably. You cannot say that the Father is the Son or the Son is the Father, but the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So who is searching the hearts? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Father? Is it the Son? Well, we know that God searches the heart. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9 says, And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. So in 1 Chronicles, it is still the same God as He is today. And that is where it was said that God, the Lord, searches the hearts and the understandings and imaginations of the thoughts. So searching the heart means God looking at what we think, what we do, and just what our heart is, how and why we do what we do. That is God searching the hearts. So He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. I think this is talking about Jesus searching the hearts. And He knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in agreement and know what they are doing. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So Jesus does make intercession for the saints. So all this to say, while we hope, the Holy Spirit helps us, even if we don't know how to pray, Jesus intercedes for us, searches our hearts, and knows the mind of the Spirit and intercedes before the Father on our behalf. And then verse 28, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we know that all things work together for good. While we hope, while we don't yet have, and we cannot yet see when this sinful world and the curse of the sin will be gone and will be lifted, even while we hope, because we have this hope of being redeemed fully from the curse of this world, while we hope, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that the Spirit helps us who are weak. Jesus intercedes for us, and by God's grace, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. While we wait patiently in hope. So hope is something that a Christian has. We have hope. And from what I had last week about the groaning of nature, of all of nature groaning to be redeemed from the curse of this sin-filled world. The groaning of the believer to get out of this sinful flesh. In the middle of that, we have a hope that is a certain expectation, a well-grounded expectation of what is to come. Because we have the scriptures, we have God's promise, we have God's word for it. That is why we have hope. And that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is knowing in our heart that this is what will happen. It is knowing that Jesus is the Savior and surrendering to Him because we have that faith. It is acting on the hope that we have. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? So I hope this will be an encouragement for us today that even though there are things that we hope for, we look for, we have an expectation to come, we don't see it yet, so we wait patiently for it. We don't give up, we wait patiently. Sometimes not as patient as we should, but we do wait for it because if we are His, we have this hope. We have this hope. So thank God for this hope and for faith and for this peace and joy that He gives us even during hardships, even during trials that we have. But we have this hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You sent Jesus to die and to reverse the curse that sin brought in this world. Lord, even though there is still some of this curse in this world, but we know that if we have believed on Christ, that we are redeemed from the eternal curse of death and hell. And Lord, those light afflictions that we have in this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. We thank You, Lord, for that. And we pray, Lord, that You help us while we wait in hope patiently, Lord, that You will help us to be joyful, that You will help us to be witnesses for You, that You help us to be faithful to You in everything. I pray, Lord, that You go with us today and be with us through this week. Help us to remember You. Help us to grow and to become more like Christ, that others will see that we have been with Jesus. Pray for each one who is here today, God. I pray You would meet their needs, supply their needs. You would answer the questions that there may be. And we just pray also again for Pastor Ken Barber and for the family. You will guide their thoughts and their ways. If You want them to come back here, You would open the doors for that, for the right day, and that You would just make it work out well. We ask for Your will to be done. We submit to You. We surrender to You by Your grace. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.